fun, so I want to deal with a subject. Really, you are somebody. And I got to think about that. You know, it's too many times that we just don't realize who we are. But you're somebody tonight. And I'm going to give you the reasons why. And how you ought to think of yourself as somebody. Too many times Christians don't live up to their identification. And I'm going to give you three of these reasons tonight to, you should live up to your identification in Christ Jesus and recognize your righteousness. It's not your righteousness, it's Jesus Christ's righteousness. You don't have any righteousness. It's been added to you. You can't add to righteousness. You can't take away from righteousness. It's Jesus Christ's righteousness. And your righteousness is from him. So remember, his righteousness is your righteousness. You need to recognize your righteousness and where it comes from, Jesus Christ. And then rely on your resources. And your resources is the Holy Spirit of God that lives within us each day, each hour, each second. I never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And then rest in your relationship with Jesus Christ, in him, in Christ Jesus. And we realize this, we will recognize that you are somebody. The greatest need to understand who you are is a need to develop a positive image of ourselves as Christians. You know, Christians too long looks down when they need to be looking up. And, you know, a week or two ago I said, you know, we have some problems and we need to be just looking down because you're already above them. But we really look down too much this day. It's not what you think you are, it's not how you feel or how others think about you. I'm going to tell you, it's what God says about you in his word. Get that. Not how you feel. Not what somebody else thinks about you. Not what they say about you. It's what God says in his word about you are a saint of God. Now that's what you need to get down and truly understand that. Many Christians never discover that. And the key to joy and living this victorious Christian life is discover who you are in Jesus. You see, salvation is beginning. It's the first walk, a newborn babe. It's the beginning. And then we need to recognize who we are. Man had an identification problem, an ID problem, and knowing who he was. You know, I got to think about that when you get kind of older. A lot of times you go to the nursing home, you'll find out. But see, this man had an identification problem, and also he had an energy crisis problem at the same time. He didn't know who he was, and he's too tired to find out. I feel that way sometimes. I think a lot of Christians that way. We don't know who we are, but we're just too tired to find out sometimes. But God gives us the word of God that we might know and we can find out exactly who you are. And I like what someone said one time, God didn't make a bunch of junk. He made you somebody. And I tell you, we need to be proud of that. So let's read these verses of scripture here this night as we get into this sermon. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he have chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he have made us acceptable in the beloved. Let us pray. Father Jesus, we want to thank you again for this day, and Father, especially, Lord, for your precious word this hour, and for this group of people, Lord, that they decided to come tonight, and we want to thank everyone that's here, oh God. And Father, we just pray, God, that we might ask someone next week and encourage someone next week and invite someone next week and each day that we come to church, Lord, that they might come and, Father, receive a blessing from you and from being with God's people, oh God, because you want the blessings, Father, if we would just allow you. So we want to thank you tonight for the names being called out and concern that people have to lift these people up to you. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the blessing power that you have. You said you have all power in heaven and earth. And God, we want to thank you for that, for the ones that you brought home from the hospital. Lord, the ones that's going to the hospital, Father, we know, God, you have the power in your hands to keep them. And Father, we just pray a special blessing upon, Lord, the power that you might present to them to be healed. Father, we want to thank you now this night, God, for every person here and their family that's represented. And all these blessings we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I do believe that that Pleasant Hill is a best group of Christian fellowship anywhere. I really thank the Lord for Pleasant Hill. And I think one of the reasons it's such a good fellowship and a good group of people and the best group of people, because most of us already know who we are, that we are somebody. And that makes all the difference, whether you believe it or not. For a happy church, for a happy family, for a happy person, to know who you are. Listen, boy, we saved. We're Christians. That ought to tell you something. And I just want to thank you tonight. If you do not know tonight, you can find out in His Word of God. As Christians, most of the time we read our Bible and we study our Bible. Most of our verses in our Bible, you know, we go to the behavior verses. You know, we use these verses, we got them marked and we got them underlined, these passages and all this, for our behavior, what we should do and what we should not do. These passages. But we need to understand about behavior. We find them all through the Bible about the behavior verses, and we use them quite a lot. Like Ephesians chapter 6 in the same book, you know, it says, put on the whole armor of God. Well, you say, boy, I need that. Yeah, you do. You really need that. That's the behavior chapter. And then you know what Romans chapter 12 tells us about, do this and don't do this and do this and do's and don'ts. And that's the behavior chapter. And then Matthew chapter 6, the Beatitudes, you know, that's the do's. And that's the, you know, the behavior chapters, the behavior passages. But Christianity is not a behavior modification on our life. God does not modify us on our behavior to change us. He changes us and then he modifies us. So we need to think about this. We look at these behavior verses in the Bible. And first of all, we need to understand who we are. It's an inside job. You know, whenever you have a peach or you have a plum or an apple and you see a wormhole in it, you don't think that worm got in there when the apple was grown. But when that apple tree was blossoming, peach tree was blossoming, and that little insect laid that egg in that blossom, and it formed around that insect. So when you see that plum that you fix to eat, and there's a hole, you know, where a worm had went in, no, it's a hole where the worm has come out, if he's able to come out yet, because it's an inside job. So the same thing with mankind. It's an inside job. Sin is an inside job on our heart. So before we can behave like we ought to, we got to understand and believe like we should before we can behave. And it says, you know, in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, we in Christ, before we behave, we need to know and understand. But before we start behaving, we know in the fall of the year, we see the trees and the leaves, they begin to fade. And some turns yellow and some turns brown. And a few will fall off, you know. But then sometimes there's some trees, you know, it don't shed all of its trees until the spring of the year, and you find these new buds starts coming out, and then it forces the old leaf off. As it forces all leaf off, they begin to fall away. Well, that's the same way it is in your life and my life. You know, when we come into this world, we come in with a sinful nature. We was born with a sinful nature, and we sin because of choice. But for these old habits, these behavior verses I talked about, before we can get rid of these old habits, and, you know, and these old life that we have, and we find these old things that we do, you know, our old life, we got to find the Lord Jesus Christ. And the new life that he puts in us, remember that he puts in us, begins to push off these old habits and bad behavior and things that we have. A lot of times people try to get rid of this by their self, but it's an inside job. As Jesus began to work on you and work on me, it's an inside job. And these things that I used to do, I don't do because the Spirit of God has pushed them out of my life. So many people tries to quit this and quit that and quit this and quit that. You see, you can't do it because it's an inside job. You know, you never purify the pump by painting the outside of it. It's the inside where the water is at. So never try to purify your life on outside, it's inside. Ephesians chapter 1, to start with, the whole book tells us about it. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us who we are. And then if you read Ephesians chapter 2 and 3, you'll find out how we got to be who we are. And then chapter 4 through 6, you find out how to live who we are in the book of Ephesians. Paul starts off with the being, and that's who you are. You're being who you are to start with. And then he deals with the doing. That's where a lot of Christians misunderstands this Christian life, because it's what we are inside. Before we can do, we got to understand who we are and how we got that way. And these three things I'm going to mention here tonight. Start doing rather than being. Now, as we do this, so many times Christians do this and they try to start doing things or stop doing things. And when you do that from the outside, it leads to legalism. And also you get frustrated in the Christian life and say, well, I can't do it anymore. A lot of people, they drop out and they never come back. Because they try to live contrary to what is already inside of them. It's an inside job, this Christian life, and it's about what Christ has done for us. You know, people come to church and they try this, they try that, they be baptized, they do this, and they try to watch everybody else, they quit doing this, we got to quit doing this, you can't do this and go to church, and you don't need to do that and go to church. You know what? They get frustrated because they find out they do it anyway. Because it's an outside job. It's contrary to the identification of their heart on the inside. John 8 and 32 says, Jesus, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Here tonight, there's probably some people here tonight that maybe have some habits. No problem about it, I know so. You got some habits, some behaviors, and different things. To know the truth will set you free if you know the truth about it. What is truth? What God says. That's simple, isn't it? So what God says is truth. Truth do not free you until you know it. You know, the truth will set a lot of people free if they knew what it said. A lost person can be set free if they know how to be saved. It's the truth. There are many, many truths in the Word of God, but they'll never give you liberty and set you free until you know them. And then you see we have so many Christians that won't come to Bible study. They won't come to church. They won't read their Bible. And how can you know the truth if you never study the truth? The truth will make you free. So it's very, very important that you know the truth. You know, it's like an elephant. You ever seen the elephant maybe at a circus and they got a chain around its leg and a stob over there, a stob down, and then that elephant, you know, he can do what he wants to, but he just got an old leg, you know, there, holds that leg, and maybe it's just a wooden stob grooving the ground. And that old huge several-ton elephant could pull down half the world if he wanted to, but there'll be a little old stob grooving just a few inches in the ground with a little chain run to it. You know how they get him to do that? They start off when the elephant's a baby, and they capture that elephant, and they put a big, strong chain and a steel rod in the ground where they can't put it down, and he's just tied there to that steel rod. He can't break it, and he can't move it. He can't break it, and he can't move it. After a while, he gets it in his head. Then all I got to do when he goes somewhere is just put that chain around his leg and just drive that wooden stob into the ground just a few feet. He just feels it, put it back on. And he thinks, you know, that old steel rod's still down there and I can't break it. So he just sits right there. Moves around just on that one leg, just but that one leg's there. Because, you see, he feels like and he thinks of that old steel rod is still there. Well, you know, the Christians is the same way. You know, we're the same way. Because that elephant perceives that's not true. What he perceives, what he thinks is not true. And as far as he's concerned, he's just in bondage on that chain. Christians, you know what? They do not know who they are in Christ Jesus. They don't recognize these three things I got on the board. And many, many of them they don't recognize. And the truth will set you free if you know the truth. Now, you see, for instance, for habits. to change by these habits. We need some habits, you know. We need to get rid of some habits. Some Christians got some bad habits. Now, you got some habits and you got some failures. If you believe they're true, you know what? The model will be true like it is for that old elephant. To get rid of these habits. For instance, these doctors that does cosmetic surgery. You know, they say that people are just addicts on cosmetic surgery. I mean, they do one surgery right after another cosmetic surgery, and they perceive themselves as disfigured after they get through. I mean, facelift, nose lift, all kind. Y'all know all kind of stuff, you know. And they're addicted to this cosmetic surgery because in their mind perceives that they're disfigured, so they want something else, some other cosmetic surgery to make them look better, feel better, because they don't think they feel good or they don't think they're right. They want to perceive that they're not true. Well, they'll never be free because of their perception of what they are. And they don't know the truth. Now, watch these girls they think they're big and they, what is it, Joyce? You eat all they, yeah, they, you know, they look like, you know, they have to get on a clothesline, they wouldn't get wet, and they're starving to death, and they stand up sideways to stick out their tongue, they look like a zipper. And you know what? They're starving themselves. And they think, they say, and you hear them, I see them, and they think they're huge. I can't understand that myself. But they perceive that they're fat, and they need to lose weight. And yet they're starving themselves to death. Well, you'll never be set free until you know the truth. The truth of the matter is, and they don't perceive it, but the truth of the matter is they're hungry and they need to gain weight. But that's not the truth. They perceive themselves as big, and that's not the truth. The truth will make you free. Start with to recognize our righteousness in Jesus Christ. The same image. If we want to be a healthy Christian, we need to understand, that we recognize your righteousness. And the truth about it, because there's so many things in our mind, so many things in our society, it takes away from the Christian life. And for us to have a healthy, strong Christian life, of being who we are in Christ Jesus, and you're somebody. To recognize your righteousness. Verse 1, again it says, Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Saved, you are a saint. If you're saved tonight, you're a saint. Now, our Catholic friends, they make people saints after some of them have been dead for hundreds of years. But I want to tell you, they can't nobody make you a saint. God does that. And it's not after you die either. It's when you're saved. Because saint means sanctified, it means set apart. Person that God has made righteousness for himself. God, you are saint or you ain't. That's all the two classes of people they are. You a saint or ain't. And God made you a saint for his own self. Now, I want to ask you a question tonight. Would you call yourself a saint tonight? I didn't ask your husband talking to the wife. I mean, would you call yourself a saint tonight? Would everybody call themselves a saint? But everybody called herself a saint. Sometimes say, well, I wouldn't call myself a saint. I'm really not a real good person. I'm really not what I ought to be. Sounds humble, don't it? Sounds humble. You see, we make excuses. Say, I'm really not what I ought to be. I know that I'm going to fail, and I know that I'm going to fall. I'll even say that sometime myself. I'm just really not what I ought to be. Well, if I'm not, whose fault is it? If I'm not what I ought to be, and I don't want to call myself a saint, if you don't want to call yourself a saint tonight, whose fault is it? God says you was a saint. And I'm going to tell you what, God's not going to take that for an excuse, because you say, I know I'm going to fail, and I know that I'm going to fall, and I know that I'm not what I ought to be. Because God called you a saint. Not sinless, but blameless. Verse 4 says, according as he have chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. When God sees you tonight, saints, he sees you as perfect. No one ever goes to heaven unless they go to heaven perfect. Y'all know that? Well, you say, I'm not perfect. Well, you are in God's eyes, because you're a saint. Get that down. You're a saint in God's eyes. Romans 4, 5, 6, and it says, now to him that worketh is a reward, not recompense of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessings of man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. Now, if you could be saved by being good and earn your salvation, God would be indebted to you, and God's in debt to no man. No man. Verse 6 says imputed. That means put on your account the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ is righteous. That's what I said. It's his righteousness, not your righteousness. All right, when you are saved by faith through grace, repentant of your sins, on your account, God added Jesus Christ's righteousness on your account. That's the only way you get righteousness. Can't earn it. Can't improve on it. Can't give it away. It's a gift to you through God by Jesus Christ. And it says, he puts it on our account. Verse 5 that I just read. But to him that worketh not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Faith is counted for righteousness. Romans 12 and 3 also tells us, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. It's not your faith. It's God's gift to you. God even gives you the faith to believe the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You see, everything's a gift to us. God gives you that. You say, well, boy, if people have just had enough of faith, God gives you enough of faith to believe on Jesus Christ. That is a gift. And also it says, he's given us this gift now in Romans. It says in Romans 12 and 3, he's given us this gift, this measure of faith to every man. Anybody that wants to be saved can be saved. And I've talked to some people, you don't want to be saved? No, not right now. I don't think I can be saved. It's not they don't want to be. I mean, not they can't be, they don't want to be saved. God gives you faith. So to start with, you need to recognize your righteousness. Point one. Where do you got it from? How'd you get it? If you're somebody and you are somebody, you're a saint of God. Recognize your righteousness and how that you got your righteousness. Two, rely on your resources. Verse 3 in that chapter, as I've read, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. We are righteous. We are saints. We've been given everything we need to live the Christian life. I say this sometime. I know that I'm going to fail. And I know that I'm going to fall. And a lot of times we say this as Christians like it's an excuse and we can't help it. You know that you're going to sin? We'd say tonight, to be honest with you, I'm probably going to sin in the future. Probably going to fail. But I don't have to sin. And I don't have to fail. And you don't have to fail. And you don't have to sin. When I do, and I probably will, because I do not depend enough on the Holy Spirit of God that lives in me to control my life. And if you fail, it's because you're not really living up to what you ought to live up to. And we probably will, won't we, do this. Now, we're probably all going to fail and probably all going to sin because we do not let the Spirit of God use us like the Spirit of God wants to use us. And that's the reason that we fail. That's the reason we say it. But we say it sometimes as an excuse, like we, you know, well, what's we going to do it anyway? So what? Are we going to fail anyway? Well, we don't have to. We being given everything in Christ Jesus through the Holy Spirit of God that we need to live this Christian life. We have everything we need. I'd like to ask you the question tonight. Do you have all the patience that you need tonight? Do you have all the love that you need? Do you have all the wisdom that you need? Do you have all the faith that you need? Do you have all the peace that you need? Well, do you? Well, verse 3 says again, as we read that, blessed be the God, our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath already blessed us with all these spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He's already blessed us with all these spiritual blessings in heaven. All right, then. If we don't have all the love, all the patience, all the faith, all the peace that we need, whose fault is it again? God says he's already given it to us. So whose fault is it? Who's right? God says you've got it. You've already got it. God says that. He's hath already given it to you. Now who's right, you or me or God? God says you already have it. Hath blessed you. Done it. So you have all the patience, you have all the faith, you have all the wisdom, you have all the peace. You already have it. Claim it. I've already given it to you. Yeah, I don't have all that, I'm saying. I don't have that patience. I don't have the love. I don't have all I need. Why? Because I have not yielded what God's already given me. You say, more of these deeper lifers think they just have more of God. You done got all of God you ever going to get. The problem is God get a hold of you. And getting rid of ourselves and giving ourselves to God. It's not getting more of God. It's giving more of us to God. We're so full of ourselves that God can't fill us with the Spirit. That's my problem. I don't mean it was your problem. It's my problem. If you think that you don't have it, you know, your concept, you know, goes back to that old elephant and that wooden peg in the ground. If you think you don't have it, you go back to that old elephant. The change been on the inside. You don't have the wisdom, don't have the love, don't have the patience, don't have the peace, don't have the strength, don't have the faith. You need love. Well, you've already got it. You already got it. Just remember, recognize on your resources, already give it to you. And see, God don't ask us to do anything he hadn't already given us. Y'all know that? You know, God commands us to love. He commands us to love. Love one another. Husbands, love your wife. And when he commands us to do this, he says, hey, I've already given you this love. He's not asking you to love your wife on your own merits. It's a command of God. It says to love one another. Well, yeah, I can't hardly love that. Yes, you can, because God commands you to love that person. You might not like that person's ways and that person's attitude, but you can love that person through Jesus Christ no matter what they do to you. We've already been commanded to do this. It's more important to believe what God says than what we think. 1 Peter 1 and 3, or 2 Peter 1 and 3, according as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Romans 8 and 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, you got to be saved. Anybody not saved do not have the Spirit of God dwelling in them. If you're saved, you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Holy Spirit is for our righteousness, for our resources, for our relationship. The third thing, we need to rest in our relationship with Jesus Christ, who we are. Verse 6 of that same chapter that I read, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable in the beloved. Your relationship is one of acceptance. The God of the universe, the God of creation, have accepted you in Christ Jesus. Matthew 3 and 17 says, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." There's a lot of Christians trying to work hard to make God accept them. Whenever you're saved, you're already accepted in Christ Jesus. His grace made you accepted. And verse 6 says, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, when we have made us acceptable in the Beloved." Romans 5 and 8 tells us, "But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So many times people think holiness is not the way to Christ. Holiness is not the way to Christ. Christ is the way to holiness. So many Christians get it the wrong way. Think they're going to do good and be better, they'll be holy. No, Christ leads us to holiness. Christ leads us to holiness. In Christ Jesus, it says several times, in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. I want to tell you, you are a special group of people tonight. A great group of people, because Christ Jesus lives within you. You are saints of God. You have been accepted by God. You are so, so blessed tonight in the Beloved because of what Christ Jesus has done for you. Have you enough love? God says, "Already I give it to you. It just needs to come out." You have patience? God says, "I'll give you patience. It just needs to come out." God's given us everything. All we need to do is open up and let the Spirit of God be shown to this world. Do we have a short little song? We'll have a word of prayer and we'll be closed. Anybody have anything they'd like to say? One of these nights, I'm going to let y'all talk. Let us bow in prayer.